The Lowell Green Podcast is brought to you by Scheel Furniture and Appliances in Pakenham. See Scheels.ca.
Doug Ford, should he come to Ottawa to testify before the inquiry or not? They're bound and determined to drag him into this. But as Doug Ford continually says, listen, this is a federal investigation into a federal decision to impose a federal law, to wit, the Emergency Measures Act. This is not a provincial issue, he says. This is a federal issue. It's an inquiry into whether the federal government acted properly in imposing a federal law. So he's been summoned here, and of course he's appealing, and he's being pounded for it. But what do you think? Should he just come here, testify? Who the hell knows what they want him to say? It was not Doug Ford's fault. He had a problem on the Ambassador Bridge. He imposed provincial emergency measures, which is nowhere near as draconian as the Federal Emergency Measures Act, and he cleared away the bridge. No problem. Pas problem. Should he have intervened at this? At the time, you know, when people were saying, well, remember the conversation, the so-called private conversation between the Prime Minister and Mayor Jim Watson, during which Ford was criticized because he wasn't here. Well, I mean, this was a federal matter, a police matter at the time, but this inquiry is not even a police measure, nor is it a city measure. This inquiry is to inquire whether the federal government imposed a federal law, whether they did this legally or not. That's what this inquiry is all about. So I don't know. What do you think, folks? This is the premier. Many of you have supported him. Is he making a mistake in not coming? He's being accused of cowardice and all the rest of it. What he's supposed to say, I don't know. But they're bound and determined that they're going to place the blame for all of this. Police incompetence, city hall incompetence, federal incompetence, stumbling, bumbling, inability to apply even the basic civil laws. But it's all Doug Ford's fault. Well, at least, I got to tell you this, folks, at least they're not claiming it's Stephen Harper's fault. No, it was Stephen Harper who probably stayed in that $6,000 a room in London. You wait, there's going to be that accusation very, very soon. That's a different topic, but I have to go back to this. You know, thank God, you know what? And even Warren Kinsella and Brian Lilly and Lowell Green are having a little bit of fun with this. Who stayed at the $6,000 hotel room in London? $6,000 a night. Five nights, $30,000. $35,000. You know, that's just for the room. But so Justin, there was good old Pierre Poilievre on his feet yesterday, poking away at the government. Nobody does it better than he does. And when the person who authorized the $6,000 a room, please stand up. And of course, Trudeau's got to stand up. But
he's that's funny.
So anyway, but so he said, did you know who stayed at that in that $6,000 a night room? So Trudeau gets up and he says, we have always and we will continue to always, you know, defend the rights of citizens, etc. We are sending out checks to everybody. You know, we're helping people, really helping people. We're sending out checks everywhere. I don't know about you, but have you got your check yet?
Not a dime.
He says they're going to all be, these checks are all going to be deposited in our bank account.
Well, Merry Christmas, everybody.
So that's, so Poilievre said, and you know, we as taxpayers have a right to know. Listen, I mean, $30,000 was spent on the hotel room alone. You can be sure the cost was closer to $50,000 with food and everything else and booze. Five nights. So every time he's asked this question, who stayed in the $6,000? We are sending out checks.
This is like the new version of Who Shot JR. Remember that on Dallas back in the 80s?
That's Trudeau's response. We're sending out checks. You're going to get your check very soon. Well, I'm waiting.
I'm just going to keep buying off the voters.
Oh, God. Now, what's very interesting in this is that Mary Simon, who is our governor general, who spent $100,000 on airplane food on the way to Dubai. So she's no stranger to this kind of largesse, right? But she has now firmly denied it. It was not me who stayed in the Riverview suite, says Mary Simon, official statement. So who was it? Stephen Harper? Rex Murphy? Warren Kinsella? I know it wasn't me. How about you, John? Were you
not
there?
Not me. Mm-mm. Sophie, maybe? Sandra Oh?
Oh, my God. Probably Bev Oda. Bev Oda, I mean, she's the one who sent $16 on a glass of orange juice. She wouldn't mind staying in a $6,000 a night hotel room, particularly if it's no big deal.
You know what kills me about that? If you've ever if you've ever purchased any food or beverage item at a hotel, that's what it costs. That's what it costs at a hotel. $16 for a glass of orange juice. It's ridiculous, but that's what it costs.
What does it cost for a glass of milk?
And
you know what? Glass of milk probably be about $20. And whose fault is this? It's the farmer's fault.
Oh, yeah.
Got to stop these damn cows out farting there and creating more terrible emissions. The cow farts are warming the planet. It's reached the point where it's almost absurd. Who, says Pierre, who spent the 5 nights in a $6,000 a night hotel room? We're sending out checks, says the Prime Minister. We're sending out checks. We've got your back. We will always defend Canadian citizens. We're going to send you out a check.
I love that. Who stayed in the room? We're sending out checks. I mean, it's pretty much squirrel, squirrel.
You might as well laugh as cry. It's our money. It's our money. Oh, my goodness. On a different topic. Here we go again. Debbie and I are out last night for a little bit of dinner. And it's about 6:30, I guess, last night. And we're waiting. We're at a red light, waiting for at a cross section of Terry Fox Drive, okay? We're waiting to cross Terry Fox. I forget the road, whatever it is. Palladium Drive, I guess. And guess what? Not one, but two OC Transpo articulated buses, which means, in essence, four buses, whip by. In the time it takes the light to change from red to green, two OC double, whatever they call them, articulated buses, whip by. In one, and it's not hard to see, it's dark, and so it's light, so it's easy to see. In one bus were two people. God bless them, okay? And the other bus, there's one person. All within, as I say, the time, passing on Terry Fox Drive, near the Centrum, in the time it takes the lights to change. So, I mean, like, does nobody at OC Transpo understand that you don't need articulated buses? Hell, you don't even need regular buses at 6:30 in Kanata. You don't. In fact, I don't think it exists just in Kanata. I'm sure it's the same thing all over the city. Empty or near empty buses, many of them articulated, spewing fumes into the atmosphere, burning up all kinds of our money, and it's not needed. I mean, very clearly, instead of running two articulated buses along Terry Fox at 6:30, one little van would have done the job. I mean, three people, that's what it was. Would three people fit into the normal van? Hell, three people would fit into your truck, John.
Oh, easily. Three people would fit into your little, whatever it is you drive. The little, I don't want to say Geo, but.
Used to drive a Geo.
I thought you did, yeah.
Yeah, I did some research this morning. OC Transpo is projecting a deficit, in other words, a debt this year, wait for this, John, of $85 million. Now, of course, some of this is being blamed on the pandemic. The ridership was way down. But was any attempt made to adjust schedules or run smaller buses? I mean, we knew that the ridership was falling. People weren't working downtown as much. I don't know if any efforts were made. But it would seem to me that if you have a situation like this, and it exists for two and a half, 3 years, that some adjustments would be made. We don't have nearly as many people using buses going into downtown. Let's cut either the number of buses or the size of buses or cut them out entirely. $85 million debt. By the way, municipalities are not supposed to run debt. So I'm not sure what laws we're breaking here, but my understanding is the municipalities are not supposed to run at a deficit.
Remember the old City of Nepean signs? Welcome to Nepean, debt-free city.
Lovely Nepean, mm-hmm. A wonderful place to be in.
Right? And then there was that.
I have to tell you.
Was that a Fred Ennis thing? That sounds like a Fred Ennis thing.
Oh, no. But there was a time when I was mad at Nepean. This is back in the Green Line days. And I was mad at Nepean. They had done something. This is when it was an independent community. And so I was jokingly advising everybody when they rode the train to make sure that they flushed the toilet while they were running through Nepean. Because in trains, you flush the toilet, right. It goes out right outside.
Onto the track.
So anyway, they invited me, Nepean invited me to speak to them and try and placate me. And so I said, you know what? You people are so nice. I'm going to stop telling people to flush their toilets when they're going through Nepean. I got the biggest round of applause I've ever gotten in my life.
Surprised that didn't get you the key to the City of Nepean.
Oh, but none of this has anything to do with the fact that, you know, when Nepean was the questions and some of the other communities as well, they were run efficiently. You can be sure in the old days of Nepean with Andy Hayden running it or whatever.
Ben Franklin,
that if a ridership went down, they'd reduce the number of buses or run smaller buses.
You know, speaking of Nepean, I was looking at there's a Facebook group, Bygone Days Nepean. It's a vintage Nepean thing. And there was a picture of a miniature OC Transpo bus, and it looked to maybe hold 15, 20 people.
Yep.
Surely something like that can be acquired and put into use.
But you see, here we go. OC Transpo, as you know, this is the former council. I still have lost track of how many electric buses they're ordering.
Why does 48 ring a bell? Why?
Well, I don't know. They change the number. The electric buses are almost double what a diesel. But we know in all probability that ridership on public transit, not only in Toronto, in Ottawa, but in Toronto and many other cities as well, is declining. Has City Council taken that into account when they're ordering these buses? Maybe instead of electric buses, maybe what we should do is buy a whole bunch of little vans to run, particularly in suburban areas, in off-peak hours.
And let them be electric vans. Let's start there.
Well, to hell with electric. I mean, wow. They're so expensive. And not only that, but we still don't know how these electric buses are going to run in the wintertime. But anyway, all I'm saying is that there doesn't appear to be any planning, any thought, and there doesn't seem to be any reacting to obvious situations. If ridership is down, ridership appears to be down permanently, people aren't working downtown like they used to, then you had better adjust public transit to reflect the reality. Two articulated buses within 30 seconds of each other, running along Terry Fox, three people in both of the buses. $85 million deficit. That, you know what this means, folks? We've got poor old Mark Sutcliffe. What a job he's got. He says he wants to keep property tax increases 2-2.5%. Well, he sure as hell can't do that with an $85 million deficit in the OC Transpo budget alone. Anyway, anything you want to talk about, folks, we've got all sorts of issues here. Should Doug Ford come to Ottawa? Or is it, as he says, a federal inquiry into a federally instituted federal law? What's your feeling on that? Who do you think stayed in the $6,000 a room? Was it Stephen Harper? Was it John Milkey?
I have an alibi. I was here with you.
Was it somebody illicit?
Ooh,
why won't?
Ooh,
why
I like
won't,
that. I like
why,
that.
Why won't Trudeau tell us? When asked, who stayed in the $6,000 a night hotel? We're sending you checks, says the Prime Minister. Oh, let's go. What do we got? What are people
his
saying?
His answer for everything. Hey, my opinion is, Doug Ford, why not? Why not? We poop on the Prime Minister for not coming out and talking to the truckers. Come, talk to the Inquiry. If you've got nothing to say, if you can't answer the questions, then you can't answer the questions. Okay, fine. And then you were here. And they can
Except,
shut up about it.
My feeling is that this is pure political.
Oh, it is.
Pure politics.
Oh, it is. So call the bluff. Show up and say nothing. Answer the question with, I've got a check for you. I don't know.
You may be right. I'd like to know what other people say
here. Well, let's get into that. All right. Kathy says, yes, I think Ford should show up, as he stated he sided with Trudeau invoking the Emergency Measures Act. Did he say that?
Yes, he did. Yep.
Okay. All right. James says, it's the left's attempt to pin it all on Ford. Kerry is worried that if he doesn't come, he will be thrown under the bus. Ironic statement.
Will that be an electric bus?
Yeah.
You know, the problem with articulated buses, like if they throw you under an articulated bus, that's a lot of bus to be thrown under. Go ahead, John.
Who stayed in the room and says, okay, it was me.
Okay, Ann.
All right. Let's start that rumor. Here's a text. Let's give the number out. 613-413-2217. Of course, this is a live show you're listening to right now, unless you're listening on the podcast, in which case you are welcome to call the show and participate. This person out of Alberta says he's getting thrown under the bus because he's a conservative and is an easy target for the feds and the city to hide behind. All right.
Yeah, I'm afraid so, and he knows that. But, you know, he makes a powerful, very, very powerful argument. He says, look, this is not about politics. This is a federal inquiry into a law, federal law passed by the federal government. Well, I got nothing to do with it, says Ford. Go ahead, please.
So John, come here and say just that, and then it's done. All right. Darlene says, I think Ford is right. They'll try to blame him instead of blaming Trudeau, who didn't have the guts to talk to the truckers. Murray in Saskatchewan says, when I was in Ottawa, there seemed to be a lot of times two on a bus. One was the driver, the other a trainer. Murray, that's my favorite post from you ever, I think. Carrie says, in 1973, when I came to Ottawa, you called up to say you wanted the bus. In that hour, they would come into your area in Riverside, half-size bus only, and take us to one of the busier areas where we switched to a regular-size bus. Yep, I remember that. Teletranspo.
You know, we've made some tremendous mistakes when it comes to public transit. One of the most useful methods of public transportation in Toronto is, guess what? Streetcars.
Yep.
We had streetcars in 1959. I think we scrapped the last streetcar in 1959.
Yes, sir.
Obviously, huge mistake. They are an integral part of Toronto's very fine public transit system, tied in with the subway, etc. But where would Toronto be without those streetcars? So not only did we scrap the streetcars, but I remember fighting tooth and nail. We were living in Ashton or near Ashton at the time. And the Stittsville Town Council decided to, there was a rail line, and I've talked about this before, coming right through the heart of Stittsville, right into the heart of, down through Billings Bridge, etc. I fought, I said, do not shut down that rail line. You're going to need that rail line. Stittsville is bound to expand. And sure enough, what used to be a direct line all the way in from, I think it came from Carleton Place. Can you imagine if there was a direct line, rail line from Carleton Place right through the heart of Stittsville, right through the west end of Ottawa and down into Billings Bridge, etc.?
It's a shame there isn't.
Right, I mean, it was a crime.
Yep.
And I and one other counselor, I'll never forget, we fought like hell. Do not shut down that rail. But no, they ripped it up for what? A bike path. You know what? I don't know when the last time I saw anybody on that path. Go ahead.
But isn't that, I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about. The city has no plan. It's never had a plan. We had all of these rail lines in downtown Ottawa. We had streetcars. Rip them up. OC Transpo and transitways are the future. You know what? We're going to rethink the transitways. Let's put trains back in now. And back and forth we go. And you know, to this whole OC Transpo $85 million shortfall. Well, what's the plan for the public service in downtown Ottawa? Should we not be waiting until that is determined before we go ahead with stage two of this LRT? Put the brakes on all of this. Figure out where we're at before we start willy-nilly just throwing money at stuff.
You know whose fault it is?
Yeah. Doug
Stephen
Ford's.
Harper.
Okay.
Doug Ford and Stephen Harper. Maybe Bev Oda as well. No question about it. No question about it. What else have we got?
All right. Let's go to email. Lowell@blasttheradio.com. I wonder what the carbon footprint per person is for three people on two articulated buses. That's Rob in Carlton Place asking that question. Let's go to Lisa's email. Lowell, while I agree we don't need articulated or double-decker buses on off hours, I, as a woman, don't want to sit next to a potential creeper. You'd be surprised by the number of weirdos on buses. Personal safety is number one in my books.
Oh, wait a minute. We're supposed to run articulated buses with one rider so that you feel comfortable? Give me a break here. I mean, if you want to pay for it, you go right ahead. But an 85, not only are they running at an $85 million deficit, but I mean, we taxpayers are being billed very heavily for it. Go ahead.
And I'm willing to bet anybody who's really that creepy will find their way to sit next to you on an articulated bus, even if you're the only other person on it. All right. Let's go to YouTube. Doug Ford will be blamed for the Coots blockade as well. We all know that no liberal will ever admit a fault. The current government is still blaming what they can on Stephen Harper. Elvin, government jacked up gas prices equals people rely on another governmental service to survive and to work. Lawrence Review Terry on Twitch. In 2008, they made a test run of the O train to CARP. Nothing came of it after that.
Yeah, and I've pointed this out. That by the way, that rail line still exists.
Yeah.
Why in the hell it hasn't been utilized? Goes right through the heart of CARP, right just to the north of Kanata. It would be a wonderful route. Goes through farmers' fields and so forth into by Billings Bridge. It's already existing and could be, well, probably with some upgrading, could have been utilized and should be being utilized, but it's not. That just anyway, enough of that. Go ahead, John.
Let me ask you your thoughts on this. What would it be like to be able to get on a train and go to Pakenham and visit Shields?
Shields and my favorite feed store as well. This is where I get my pigeon food and straw. Shields. Yeah, one of the other great businesses in Pakenham. Pakenham's known for what? Four things. Shields, good ski hill, good golf course, and a great feed store. But let's talk about Shields for a moment here.
And Wayne Ronstadt, no?
Is he from Pakenham?
I believe he's in that area. Anyway,
He used to live in Elmont, I think. But anyway,
close enough.
I was talking about Shields.
Sorry,
folks. I just keep stressing the fact. They tell me that's 90% certain. No matter what it is that you want or need in the way of appliances, all of the big brand names, smaller brand names as well, different price ranges, different sizes, different colors, available in stock. They have a huge warehouse. Pakenham's not very big, but the warehouse is big, okay? And it's filled with all of the latest appliances, very, very, very competitively priced as well, in stock. And don't forget that lovely little butcher shop. First thing you see when you come in, there's a picture of a grandfather, the father, and the son, the same family, the Shields family, since 1947, and a lovely little butcher shop, and then, of course, appliances. And now a Sony dealership, Shields of Pakenham. World famous in Pakenham. Go ahead, John.
But can't get there by train. It's a shame. Don't forget the five-span bridge, reminds Terry. Okay, time to bring back the horse and buggy, says Ann. That rail line is too old, Lowell. Ottawa wants nice, shiny, new things that don't work.
But whether, you know what, but I mean, what I'm saying to you is the route exists, the rail exists, it may need some upgrading, maybe we want to put new rails down, but the big cost in many of this is the land and so forth, but it's already there. The rail is already there, right through the heart of CARP. Have you ever been to CARP and you cross a rail line? Well, that rail goes right into Pakenham. It goes right into, not Pakenham, it goes right into Billings Bridge, goes into downtown Ottawa. Go ahead, John.
Look what I've done. Elvin says, using existing lines means the tax dollars can't be given to liberal-friendly general contractors like SNC-Lavalin. David's on Facebook. He says, $200,000, $850,000 each hybrid buses scrapped after 5 years on the road. No forward-thinking vision. Let's go back to email. Yep. Jamie says, you know what would be great if Pierre Polyev testified and called them all out? He wouldn't have any reason to testify, though, would he?
No, I don't see a reason. No, he was not involved. Go ahead.
Right. He's the opposition. He wasn't even the leader of the opposition at the time.
That's right.
Yeah. To YouTube, they used the rail line that went south from South Keys to Prescott as a walking path. It went through Manitick Station, Osgood, Kempville, Spencerville, and Prescott.
Very true.
Earlier comments, James says it's the left's attempt to pin it all on Ford. Kerry says, I'm worried if he doesn't come through, he'll be thrown under the bus. I believe we read that before. Let's just skip ahead here a few. Blame Harper again, says Clifford. Trudeau and Watson have tried to put Ford under the bus. Everybody's talking about under the bus. Ironically, this ties all of our subjects together. Mahati, I don't think Ontario Premier Doug Ford should testify. He had nothing to do with the convoy protest. He was never here in Ottawa when it happened, February 4th. Valda, good for Doug for pointing it out that it is a federal and not provincial matter. He should come and make his point so they all know that the finger pointing is not at the provincial level. Karen says on CFRA today from noon until 2, Deb Hutton hosted the overplayed, underplayed segment. Can't remember the guest's name, a male, but his opinion of the hotel cost of $400,000 is overplayed. His opinion of the hotel cost of $400,000 is it's overplayed. I got you. Wow, just wow. She says, "All right."
Yeah, I mean, this is the game that the Liberals are and the NDP who are supporting the Liberals are playing. Nothing wrong with $6,000 a night hotel, $42 plate of bacon and eggs, $35 cup of tea. No problem. That as long as it's Liberals doing this, as long as it's Liberal friends. But God help you if it's a conservative. $16 for a cup of a glass of orange juice? You're out. You're finished. Your career is over, you bum. That's a conservative. Go ahead.
I'm still looking for my check. It's got to be around here somewhere. James says,
yeah, check it, folks. Check your bank account.
Yep.
Trudeau, when asked who was in that $6,000 a night hotel room, we're sending you checks. We have your back. We will always have your back. We will always send you checks. Go ahead.
And they do like having access to my bank account, don't they? That's a thing. James says, shit, I forgot. This is all Harper's fault. All right. Bruce says, lol, I think it's just another deflection smokescreen for all the Liberals so they don't have to answer all these hard questions. No, I don't think he should go there. I think he should just sit back and let them roll the dice. Okay.
You know, I understand the sentiment, but he should come here and get this over. But the problem is we've got a very, very, very biased media out there, exception of the Sun. And so Trudeau is going to be testifying there and some other officials at the office. But you can be sure, if Doug Ford comes, this will be what's being played up. Trudeau's testimony, even though it's very, very damning, will be almost totally forgotten. But poor old Doug Ford will be dragged through. He'll be headlines everywhere. That's the reality of it, and Doug Ford knows it. Go ahead.
Because Trudeau has a check for you.
Yep.
And by in this case, the media.
By the way, folks, check your bank accounts. Now, actually, it's a little scary to think, because if Trudeau can send your bank account a check, he can also shut your bank account down. Oh, he already did that in some cases. Yeah, that's true. I mean, one of the things that I have to come back to, I know a lot of people say, well, I'm glad they imposed this. They got rid of the truck. Great. But do you realize that in this case, this was a federal government giving itself the power to freeze bank accounts, to do anything it wanted? If it had people that it didn't want, they could have sent police in to arrest without warrant. This is a federal government giving itself these kinds of powers that only dictators have. Let me repeat that. This is a government giving itself dictatorial powers. It did, and in some cases used them to freeze bank accounts. It's a scary thought, folks. This is a government that gave itself this kind of power. This speaks of something like North Korea. I mean, Venezuela, Cuba, government giving itself the power, essentially, to do whatever it chooses. And people don't mind this? Ooh. Go ahead, John.
They could have walked in, taken us off the air, but more than that, they could have walked into anybody's home and said, I don't like that thing you posted on social media, and I'm going to toss your ass in jail for it.
You know what? Very true. There's no question that the liberals hate me, with good cause. And but I'm going to tell you right now, you can laugh all you want, but the fact of the matter is that during the war, the Emergency Measures Act implications, they could have come in and shut both you and me down. I would have no recourse. They could have charged me with inciting in a national emergency, inciting whatever. They could have done whatever they wanted. Go ahead, John.
By the way, I was laughing at your honesty about that, FYI. I agree. Scary. Dictatorship. Stay away, Doug, says Carl. Don't get mixed up in this circus. Elvin says the little potato does admire China's basic dictatorship. Let's quickly go through a few of the leftover comments because we're just about out of time. James says the Parks Department alone had a $45 million surplus at amalgamation, talking about the city of Nepean. And just like that, poof, it was gone. Angela says buses are running empty at any time in Orleans and have been for years, not just articulated, but they run double-decker buses with one or two people on board. All the talking heads at CFRA in 1310 says, Keith, defend the cost of the hotel, yet nobody in the government will stand up and tell you who stayed in that $6,000 room. I assume even the liberals know this is not right, and the public would demand resignations.
Thank you all, folks. Back again tomorrow.
The Lowell Green Show is seen and heard live around the world at 2 p.m. Eastern. Connect with us online at blasttheradio.com/Lowell Green. Can't join us live? Download the Lowell Green Podcast. Available on Apple, Spotify, Google, and more. Ask your smart speaker to play the Lowell Green Podcast. This is a production of blasttheradio.com.